Suddenly, with the death of Alexander Litvinenko, the toxic properties of polonium-210 have moved from the stuff of chemistry books to the front pages of newspapers all over the world. John Emsley is a British science writer and chemist who wrote the book The Elements of Murder, A History of Poison. Welcome to the program, Mr. Emsley.
Very nice to be with you.
Speaking of elements and history, is there any known history of poisoning people with this isotope of the element polonium?
No, it's extremely rare for this to happen. I mean, everybody who deals with polonium-210 knows how dangerous it is. In fact, I think it's generally regarded as one of the most toxic substances that we know.
You spoke of all people who work with polonium, which, of course, raises the question, who has access to polonium? Is it easy to get hold of polonium, or is a very rarefied group the only people who can?
Well, no, you're quite right to ask. It isn't easy to get it. I mean, you can only make it. It's made from another element called bismuth, but you need to expose bismuth to neutrons, and you can only do that, really, in a nuclear facility. But it has one use, and that it gives off a lot of heat. And I know when the Russians sent their spaceship, which landed on the moon, that the electricity that it was generated for that was generated from a polonium thermoelectric cell, because 1 gram of polonium just left to itself will reach a temperature of about 700 degrees Fahrenheit. Mm. And you can use that heat, of course, to make electricity, and it was a very powerful source for that reason.
Well, if we were, this is highly hypothetical, if we were in the business of poisoning people, what would be the advantages or drawbacks of using polonium-210?
Well, it's a very sinister way of poisoning people, Robert, if you think about it, because the doses are incredibly tiny. A piece of polonium the size of a speck of dust would be quite a serious hazard if that got into your body. Now, I suspect, you know, when this poor man was poisoned, they would use something like a milligram, a thousandth of a gram. So tiny. And it will be dissolved in something, and very easy, I think, to slip that into somebody's drink. And I mean, there's been speculation here that it was put into a cup of tea that he drank.
But just the idea of dealing with a milligram of something, or with it, such a tiny part of it.
Well, you know, a milligram is about the size of a grain of sand. Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking about an incredibly tiny amount. Perhaps the most famous death from polonium-210 was Marie Curie's daughter. Marie Curie was the woman 100 years ago who discovered polonium. And her daughter, Irene, died, it's suspected, from polonium, because there was a vial of this which exploded in her laboratory, and it's thought that she inhaled the vapor and the dust from this. It took her a long time to die, but eventually she died of leukemia. And the thing about polonium is, like all radioactive material that gives off alpha particles, once it gets inside your body, then of course these particles could easily damage the DNA of a cell. And of course when that happens, there's always the possibility that the cell reconstructs it slightly differently, and you then get a cancerous cell.
Now, do I have it right that if in fact someone is given a large dose of polonium-210, large enough to kill as quickly as it seems Alexander Litvinenko was killed, that the person would actually excrete polonium-210?
Oh, yes, because it's a curious element, because it's got it tends to stay around in the body for anything up to about a month. But, of course, all the time your body knows it doesn't want it, and it's excreting it through, you know, your urine and your feces. So perhaps everywhere you've been, there will be traces of polonium-210 to be found. I mean, this is perhaps why it was found in the sushi bar. Now, we don't know, it's not been revealed where in the sushi bar that it was found, but I suspect it was perhaps found in the gent's toilet. It's been found in his home, but, of course, there will be ample evidence of it there. It's been found in a hotel, and it's difficult to know when he was given this, but of course, after perhaps a day or two, he'd begin to excrete it, and then everywhere he went, there would be traces.
Having studied poisonings yourself, is it a truism of the field that, let's say, institutions that go in for poisoning people typically would also have antidotes that they would be familiar with, or not necessarily?
Oh, yes, I think the sophistication at which this type of poisoning was done, the people who prepared the poison or the dose of the poison would certainly know how to deal with any accidental contamination. I mean, this would be produced in a highly sophisticated nuclear facility where, of course, people are geared up to not exposing themselves to it and to coping with accidents if they were to happen.
John Emsley, thank you very much for talking with us about.
Well, thank you very much, Robert. It's been a most interesting conversation.
That's John Emsley, who is a chemist by trade and a science writer, and the author of The Elements of Murder, A History of Poison.